Well, hello there. I hope you're doing great. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. And today, I've got a guest who's going to be, we're going to be talking about psychology and the different types of psychology, and we're going to take a very, very deep look into energy psychology. However, before we get to that, let me introduce her. Her name is Charlotte Cassidy. She's a psychotherapist, counselor, and wellness coach. And she began her training in the field of psychology with a Bachelor of Arts degree from Wilfrid Laurier University. She continued her education at Nipissing University, completing a Bachelor of Education degree. After working as a special education resource teacher for the Avon-Maitland District School Board, Charlotte returned to her studies to pursue a master's degree in psychology. Charlotte received her Master's of Arts degree in Counseling Psychology in 2007 from the Adler School of Professional Psychology in Chicago. Her graduate education included clinical training under supervised practice to gain experience using a variety of treatment modalities in providing individual psychotherapy. Her work experience has included therapy in a private practice and hospital setting, as well as psychoeducational consulting in a school board setting. She has been a member of the Ontario Association of Counselors, Consultants, Psychotherapists, and Psychometrists, the OACCPP, since 2006. Charlotte has also been studying and training in various energy psychology techniques and is a member of the Canadian Association of for Integrative and Energy Therapies and is currently completing her diploma certification with the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, or ACEP. She is an advanced Psych K facilitator and uses meditation, EFT, which is emotional freedom techniques, mindfulness-based stress reduction, and other therapy modalities to increase her client's sense of health and well-being. And currently, she's an applicant for registration with the College of Psychotherapists of Ontario. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Charlotte. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, how are you today?
Great, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Excited to be here.
Oh, I'm really glad you're here because, you know, I'm very, very intrigued by what you've been studying, all these different types of psychology. You know what, I've never really thought that there were different types, to be honest. I thought it was just, I don't know, just a few types, but it sounds to me like you're zeroing in on a lot that a lot of people probably haven't even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now I'm going to ask, what is individual or Adlerian psychology?
Well, that is one particular theory. Alfred Adler was one of the first psychoanalysts. He joined with Freud and Jung, and in 1902, they actually started a psychoanalytic society. And then eventually those psychotherapists parted ways, and Adler's theory evolved into a more holistic theory. His theory rests on basic assumptions of how a person perceives and operates in the world. So he's not just looking at your assumptions or your belief system as the ends. They're a means to an end. They're a way for us to understand the person.
Okay. That's very interesting. So, okay, now here's the thing, though. I just want to know, like, what is the quote-unquote lifestyle?
Okay, so Adler talked a lot about the lifestyle because he believed that we're not just passive recipients of data from our environment, but that we're actually helping to construct the environment or the situations around us. So when Adler talked about the lifestyle of a person, he was talking about that person's characteristic way of thinking, seeing, and feeling towards life. So it's almost what we would consider their personality type.
Okay.
And when we look at that lifestyle, it contains people's self-concepts and their self-ideal, how they see themselves as they should be. It looks at their picture of the world and their ethical convictions.
Okay. Okay, that's actually quite interesting. So how does the lifestyle develop?
Well, Adler would say that your lifestyle is set by the time you're 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a hard concept to grasp when I started studying this theory. And because I was thinking, how could my belief systems and the way I operate have already been set but when I was a child? But when you look at the way people go through different situations, it could be a different situation, but they're calling on those old belief systems and thinking patterns and applying them in new situations. And that's how we often see dysfunctional patterns in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people have the same relationship over and over with different people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of looking at that. That's a pattern that's coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the other people. So that's when we have to recognize, okay, this is my pattern. This is what I'm calling into myself. I'm putting myself in these situations. So what is in my lifestyle, or what is in my belief system that I need to focus on and change? And now there's some pretty good data around brain waves, and EEGs with children show us that from birth to 2 years, we're predominantly in a delta wave state, and from 2 to 6 years, we're primarily in a theta wave state. And those slower brain wave states are very programmable. So a hypnotherapist would drop their client's brainwave activity into a delta or a theta because they are more suggestible to programming. So that's how we get programmed more easily as children.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. And that's probably why your long-term memory is not anywhere near developed until you're around 6 or 7. It has to do with being in that delta state?
When you're talking about memory?
Yeah. Because if you're very programmable, you're not going to remember too much until you're set. And then I suppose that's just what I'm thinking. Is that true?
No. A lot of people can have early recollections of when they were infants or small children. It just means that we're more susceptible to pick up the programming that's going on around us. So from our parents or from other adults around us, when we start school, what are the rules or even some of the unspoken behavior patterns that we're observing that other people are modeling around us. Children are really good observers, but they're poor interpreters because they don't have that kind of cognitive or reasoning skills to think out what is happening around them. So often they will take situations or look at a pattern very literally. And that's how we end up with some dysfunctional programming.
Okay.
It's not from ill intentions or that parents are doing something wrong. Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand that because, you know, it's always easy to blame the parents.
Yeah.
So there's, it is. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you may be programmed, you know, like you said, before the age of 6 or 7. However, I do know that you can change your lifestyle or programming. So could you share us how to do that? Because I'm sure a lot of people really would love to know, since they don't like how they're programmed, I'm sure.
Right. Well, yeah. and traditional psychotherapy methods, you know, with the talk therapy, and there's different modalities around doing that as well.
Right.
And I found that it was helpful for people, but I was looking for other things. and things that, because I know that that programming is very subconscious. We're often not consciously aware. And until you are really aware of some of your behaviors and the patterns that you're playing out, a lot of people really don't catch on to, okay, maybe this is part of my wiring, and this is why I'm always reacting badly in this particular situation. What is that about? So I was really looking at things to tap into that subconscious programming. And that's when I happened upon energy psychology. I had read Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, and he was talking a lot about energy and physics and the energy in our biology and how that affects our physiology and our actual bodies. So negative thinking patterns have a negative effect on different cells in the body.
Okay. Well, that I have heard. And you know what? A lot of people have also heard that too. However, they just it takes a lot more than just thinking positively to change that. So you're absolutely right. There's going to be a lot of work with changing the programming. So
exactly.
Now I'm going to... Go ahead.
Well, it's that the conscious mind, we can observe our behaviors as they're being carried out. But that pre-programming is being put into play by the subconscious. And often that subconscious programming takes over the moment that your conscious mind is not paying attention. And it's really difficult, and especially in this day and age, it's really difficult for us to stay conscious and aware and really mindful and in the present moment. Because as soon as we're not, that subconscious programming takes over.
Yes. Okay. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. So now I'm going to ask, what is energy psychology and how does it differ from traditional forms of therapy?
Well, when I was reading the Bruce Lipton book, and he was talking a lot about, you know, if you change your mind, if you change your thinking patterns, you can change, you know, your body. You can change the way situations work out for you. And I was thinking, yes, I know this. This sounds really familiar. It's all good, but there was never any. Well, how do I change my mind? What's the trick with this? And at the end of his book, there was a little addendum about Psyche, which is one of the energy modalities that I practice. And it was about a specific method that allows you to tap into the subconscious mind and allows you to find out what is some of the programming in there. And it gives specific techniques for changing those beliefs. So that was my first introduction to energy psychology. And I've been taking courses and studying in different modalities with energy psychology since, I would say, the past 4 years. So that energy psychology, the basic principle is that whatever the presenting problem is with a person, it has a counterpart in the client's energy system. And we can treat that problem at an energetic level.
Okay.
So whether I'm using Psyche techniques where I'm working with left brain, right brain interaction and getting people to be more whole-brained in a problem situation, are more whole-brained around a belief. I also work with acupressure points. So it's almost like psychological acupuncture to help redirect the flow of your meridian energy system. I also work with chakras and the biofield. And whatever technique that I use, that's always directed by the client. So I'm always looking at what is the presenting problem here and which energy system would be the best for us to use to treat this problem.
Okay.
So okay. Every client's treatment will look different.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's actually very interesting. So what is exactly energy checking?
Energy checking is part of the energy psychology process, and that mm-hmm. is using muscle testing mm-hmm. to really see what beliefs are in the subconscious mind, or we could muscle test to see is working with the acupressure points the best treatment, and we can muscle test that for a yes or a no response from the client's body. Those are the ways that the standard techniques really get pinpointed to what that client needs by actually okay. tapping in and checking their energy system using muscle testing.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. So mm-hmm. how does energy psychology affect a person's readiness to change?
Well, with energy psychology, it works in that bioenergy dimension, not just a biochemical dimension. I think that we're pretty used to hearing about, negative thinking can affect your brain chemistry. And for sure, there's a link there, but there's also a link into that our actual energy system. We can mm-hmm. see that. And we can test that different meridians or acupressure points or things will get out of balance if there is a difficulty. So with energy psychology, we can address that being ready, willing, and able to change through an intervention by the muscle testing and actually testing the system. So before I would apply an intervention, I would ask the client, are there any internal objections? Like you're consciously mm-hmm. telling me this is the pattern that you want to change, but is anything popping up around an internal objection? And that could be, maybe we have some programming in our subconscious minds that say, oh, it's not safe to change this. Or...
Yeah.
It might not be safe for others for me if I change this. Like if I change this aspect of my belief system or my personality, then what is my family going to do? Or how are they going to react to me? Sometimes people have issues around changing something, and consciously they're really committed and willing to change. They recognize that there's a problem, but subconsciously, there's often a block to changing that problem. I remember working on an anger management issue with a client, and one of her internal objections to that was that I'm not sure who I will be without mm-hmm. without my temper. I've always had this, and it's always been safe for me to have because my temper protects me. People know to back off when I get mad.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And you know what? That I can see. You know what? People know that if something is not serving them well or properly, they know that something within them has to change. However, when they get down to the nitty-gritty of it, then I can see why there's resistance. Well, who am I going to be without this negative characteristic, if you will? So that it makes a lot of sense. So how do you work through, how do you exactly work through that? Because that is an issue I know that a lot of people probably come across. It's like, I do want to change. I need to change. Things aren't really going the way I'd like them because I know I got to change. However, I'm too safe. I'm too safe with this characteristic. Who am I going to be without it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is the internal objection that's coming up, then that is what we would work on before we actually addressed the presenting problem. So by targeting that objection, we can often get that to move in the energy system just by tapping on some of those acupressure points and going through a round of tapping on some of the objections, gets that objection to come from, you know, maybe the person is resonating with that at a level of a 10, which is the highest level to resonate with. And through going through a tapping sequence, we tap that until it's down to a 0. So I'm not feeling that's resonating in my system anymore. So that when we go to do the treatment on the presenting problem, then we don't have that block hitting us.
Right, right. Okay.
And they're much more open to changing that. Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. So, I mean, how do you exactly choose a priority goal to treat?
That's done through muscle testing. So in speaking with a client, the way I work with energy psychology, it's been a really nice fit in with my more clinical Adlerian psychotherapy background, because I was often interviewing clients and seeing patterns and seeing where things, you know, may have popped up for them, or programming may have come from this certain aspect in their family. And then once I have a good idea of that client and they've described their presenting problem, and we can kind of look at, I wonder where some of that programming came from. And then we can test the system. So I can use the muscle testing, which is based on applied kinesiology principles. So I would muscle test a client to say, this is the most important issue for us to be addressing first. And I would muscle test the client by, you know, the client is holding out their arm. I have one hand on their shoulder and one hand on their wrist, and I muscle test. So if they can resist that pressure, then their body's system is giving me a yes response. If they can't resist pressure, their body is giving me a no response.
Okay.
So I can ask their system the question, and even though they may think, oh, I'm sure that this is a belief in my system, like this shouldn't be a problem, and we can muscle test it, and their system will come out as a no. So that's saying to me, no, this isn't something that you have in your subconscious mind. Maybe this is something that we need to work on.
Okay. Interesting. So, if you don't mind, could you describe how an energy psychology session would flow?
Sure. So, using that muscle testing, and the muscle testing is almost like using a person's own built-in biofeedback method. So, it's an easy way for us to get feedback from the client's energy system, using that biofeedback muscle testing. So I would muscle test, and in energy psychology we call that energy checking. So that's how I would assess the flow of energy within the body system and within their pathways. So during a session, the client's energy field would be balanced, because often we're walking around with little energy scrambles. You know, some days we get caught into these really left brain patterns.
Yeah, and where you're very nitpicky and everything's got to be down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And logical and sequential, and, you know, sometimes we hit a bit of a roadblock, because when we're really in a left brain thinking pattern, we're not very creative, and we're not thinking very abstractly. So sometimes if we hit a roadblock, then those days are, you know, maybe more difficult than others. So that is something that I check for right at the start, to see, are there any of these little energy scrambles within a person's system? because we want to get rid of those, and we want to have your left and right brain balanced. We want those two hemispheres communicating together well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when that step is completed, it's often easier for the client to get really specific about their presenting problem. And it's almost like they can create a headline sentence for the issue that they want to work on. Because the more specific that we can be, the more effective these kinds of treatments often are. So once we get that headline sentence and that target issue, that's when we would check for some of those internal objections. So, okay, here we have this target issue. This is what we want to work on. Is there anything in your system that's objecting to that? So are there subconscious objections around your safety, around your identity, around your worthiness? You know, is there a program running in there that says you're not worthy of getting rid of this problem, or you don't deserve to get rid of this problem?
And
sometimes those are really deep core issues that you wouldn't think that that's going to pop up when I'm trying to get rid of my anger issue problems, you know?
Right.
I didn't know that at my core I don't believe I deserve to get rid of this. So that is really important to look at those internal objections and to check and clear them before you actually do a treatment on that target issue that we want to work on.
Okay.
So once that is cleared, I have the client tune into, you know, their target issue, whatever distressing thoughts or memories, or maybe it's a specific event. Maybe they've had some trauma around a certain event. So I get them to tune into that and then rate their level of distress.
Okay.
When you are tuned into that problem, where are you on a scale of 0 to 10?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then
I
would test the client's system to see, you know, is this problem going to respond better to us using acupressure points to address this negative energy? Or should we be using the chakras as energy points? Or should I be using psyche? Those are things that I would test the client's system for, and then whatever treatment pops up, that's the one that we use, and we would go through a round of treatment until that initial distress has shifted. And then we check back in. Okay, if your initial distress was at a 10, and after a round of treatment, where are you now? So maybe we've tapped through all 12 of the acupressure points, and we may stop and say, okay, where's that distress sitting now? Well, maybe it's fallen to a 7. So then we could do another round.
All righty. Well, that sounds all very interesting. Now, my final question for you, Charlotte, is how can people get a hold of you? How can they reach you?
The best, my website is www.psycheandthecity.co.
Mm-hmm.
I am having a little bit of work done to my site, but I'm pretty sure that you can still access it. The best
I think we're always in that phase.
Yes. Yeah. The best way to get a hold of me directly is to go to the Psychology Today website.
Okay.
And then you would want to find a therapist, so you would just write in my name, Charlotte Cassidy, and I will pop up. And there is a way for you to go to my page and message me directly. Those messages come directly to me.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a Facebook, Twitter, any social media?
Yeah, I have a Psych in the City page on Facebook, and I'm also on Twitter. Psych in the City is the title of all of my social media.
All right. Well, I'm going to put that all in the blog post, and stay tuned for that later. Thank you so much, Charlotte. It was such a pleasure. I know I learned quite a bit from this interview, and I hope everyone else did too. A lot of great information. So you have a great day. Have a great rest of the week, and I will be in touch with you again soon. Everyone,
great.
Take care. Bye
Thanks
for now.
Thanks so much, Miriam.